This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
Oh, I got to listen to the headphones because I hear the show starting on in the other room over there. We're on a little delay here, but we're here.
Yes.
And it's drizzly out.
Yeah,
is that
it
a
is.
Word?
Is it
that
is
a word?
Now.
Drizzly?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. My daughter was freaking out because she's between the two of us, we've been building a new swing set.
Okay.
I looked at the instructions. I was working on it almost the whole day 2 days ago with her and putting things together and searching for different parts because some of the parts are numbered on the side of the wood so that you know to use the right parts and stuff. But some of them you can't read the numbers, so you're kind of guessing.
Yeah.
And you really don't want to put this thing together wrong because then you got to take it apart and start over. And we had several instances where the spacing was not right because although it said, you know, pay attention to this and do that, but
not quite.
It wasn't perfect. So I had to take apart things. I had to put things back together. And, of course, wood is not kind to being taken apart and put back together. So there was a couple of splits. And, you know, I start cursing. And then my grandson starts running around with pieces of the thing. And you say, put it down. Stop running around. You're going to break something. 3 times I had to yell at him. Finally, I just grabbed him. I said, you go inside now. And, I I'm building the swing set for him.
Sure. That's gratitude.
What are you thinking? You know, and what am I thinking? You know, now he's crying because I yelled at him. And so we're working on this thing. And last night, she realizes it's going to rain today. Today was supposed to be his birthday party. We were hectically trying to get everything together for that, but obviously we were failing. And she had to bring everything inside last night because it was going to rain. And I'm looking at her like, you know, this is a swing set that's going to sit outside. What's
it's made to be outdoors.
It's made to be outside. So about, I guess, around 10 o'clock at night, I hear this tremendous noise. And I don't react to it. I just figure something fell down. She fell down. She walked into the stuff that she put in the house. And she walks in holding her wrist, you know, hurt.
Oh.
I looked at the instructions on this dopey thing.
Yeah.
Okay? And how long would you suspect it would take you to put together a swing set?
Maybe, I don't know how big it is. 2 hours? 3? I don't know. Something like that?
You know, it says to put the fort together, it'll be at least 10 to 14 hours. And then to put the swing set part of it, and the slides, another 4 to 5 hours.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm saying, well, when we thought about the commitment of $300 to put it together for someone else to come in and put it together, we said, oh, that's ridiculous. We can do it.
Right.
So it sounds like you should really buy this about when
3 or 4 months ago.
When your daughter was pregnant.
Right.
Say, okay, now by the time we finish.
Yeah. She can finish it, actually. Yeah.
He'll be 5 or 6 by the time, it sounds like.
I love the directions you always say, easy to put together.
Oh, it's easy.
You know?
It's
and then
easy.
You go, wait a minute, I'm in for trouble.
They this even is... give you the drill bits, and they give you a small Allen wrench.
Right.
Okay, now, an Allen wrench screwing into wood, a bolt into wood, requires a tremendous amount of oomph. Okay? So I tightened one with the Allen wrench. My fingers were hurting. I said, all right, we're going to cut the end off this Allen wrench or something, and we're going to adapt something that's going to screw the thing in because I am not tightening all of these bolts. And we've already made several mistakes and had to fix them because obviously the instructions were printed in Japan or China or somewhere and not particularly clear. Not bad, but not as good as, you know, I could have rewritten them. You could have rewritten them and anybody could have put this together, but they didn't invest that kind of time into it. And so it's about a third done now.
Oh, my God. So you'll be done
yesterday
before...
she was working on parts that she could build inside, even though it was a nice day. She has made the roof and she's made other things. Now we just have to put it all back together.
How big is this thing?
It's big. I mean, it's probably, you know, 3 or 4 swings. and
oh,
a fort,
forget the 2 hour
a
thing
fort
I
that
say.
You climb yeah, on, yeah. and then two slides, and then a tube that you go in as a slide. I mean, there's a it's complicated.
Yeah, that's more than 2 hours.
And
I was just thinking
of course,
it was small.
She paid a price for it. It was delivered, and then just before it was delivered, Costco dropped or BJ's dropped the price on it. So she paid something like $300 or $400 more than she should have paid, and she's hoping she's going to get a full credit on that. It's just, you know, it's one thing after the next.
Yeah,
and
figure, okay, I'll get this done today.
So the party was supposed to be today, but she kept looking at the forecast for rain, and she's now created a rain date for her party.
So alert! Oh, somebody coming to the party, signing in here. Okay.
That's Alex. Yep. That's Alex who asked me yesterday, 8 o'clock, and I said yes. And he said, "Sorry, I thought it was 9. I'm on my way." So take your time. We're okay. But yeah.
So is he coming or? Is
yeah,
he,
he's coming.
Oh, he's gonna be here
he's
at
coming.
9.
He'll
okay.
be here. Well, he'll be here at 8:30. He's
oh,
on
okay.
his way. He's on his way.
Did you say something like you know donuts? Anything?
I didn't say anything about coffee or donuts, but, you know, he could come 5 minutes later. And
if he's listening.
If he's,
yeah,
he's
you
probably
know,
listening.
It'd be really nice, I think. You know.
Yeah. What kind of donut do you want? We could pre-order this
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. I'll take half a dozen of whatever they got.
A half a dozen?
Sure.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, well, you're skinny as anything, so you can eat that stuff.
But I never eat that stuff. Well,
you don't?
I don't say never. I don't. Buy
you don't,
donuts
you're
and
not,
stuff.
You're not drawn to that store in the morning for coffee and donut?
Coffee, absolutely.
Yeah.
I always have coffee. That's
well,
the first
I always
thing.
Have coffee,
yeah.
but, you know, we have our little – my dogs stay under the bed and on the bed until I'm dressed, I have my sneakers on, and when I go to get my phone and my glasses, they come crawling
they
out.
Know.
And they know it's time to go out.
Yeah.
But they only go out for about a minute and a half, long enough for me to start the coffee. And then they're in looking for a treat because they get their treat first thing. And now he probably wants to know Boston cream.
How did he
whatever
know?
You got.
Yeah.
How did he know?
Yeah.
Whatever you want,
Alex. Well, there's three of us here, so... Whatever you want.
And get something
matter.
For yourself.
And, yeah, you can yeah, treat yourself. Yeah. Yeah. This, you know, this is the fun part of this radio show is he's listening to the radio
right.
as he's driving here.
Right.
And
it's going to end in a fist fight. I
I've
think.
Done that. I've been late for this show and listened to the radio and called in. You know, the it's so crazy when you're trying to do something outside and you're hoping that the weather is going to be nice. You wanted to have a scavenger hunt and a whole bunch of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, it's just, it's going to rain today. And it was drizzly as I was walking
yeah.
in the building. So that certainly puts a damper on things.
Yeah, my daughter's graduating UConn. The ceremony is tomorrow.
Oh, well, tomorrow should be a little better.
Is it supposed to be better?
I think so.
Yeah, because it's up in Hartford we have to go to. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Congratulations
yeah. well,
to Kendall. That's nice.
Yeah, she worked hard. She deserved it. Let me tell you. She was really working
what
hard.
What degree is she getting?
It's her. It's the first, I guess it's bachelor's degree.
In what?
The shortened version is early education.
Oh, okay.
But it's got a name, a moniker the
sure.
size of Wall Street.
Sure.
You know, and it's
yeah.
whatever that means. And but yeah, she's we're doing that. Luckily, we don't have to drive to stores, which takes forever to get to.
I actually have an employee that works for me that comes from Tolland every morning.
That's a
and
long
he's
drive.
He's driving over 2 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes 3 hours.
Yeah.
If there's traffic and. He likes working for me, which is, you know, a pat on the back for me. But what a ride!
Oh man,
I can't. That. And then you know, he's got to drive home again,
right?
And you know, I try and double him up with inspections, but it's a journey. It's definitely a journey.
Yeah, I used to date a woman who lived in Massachusetts, and you know, I'd go up there for the weekend. At least I didn't have to turn around immediately and come home. But it's still a long drive.
Yeah, no. And, you know, well, we encourage students. So, you know, I have students that are in the classes now. And right now we have six students. And I encourage them to stay in a hotel between each of the two nights because it's just too crazy.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'll keep them for like 7 or 8 hours doing class. They're going to be tired. And to send them on the road at that point is difficult.
You know, and then to turn around and come back.
Yeah, and I don't want them getting hurt. I don't want them nodding out as they're driving under a bridge on the Merrimack.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. So if you want to join us on Facebook, we're actually – you can look at the top of our heads this time. I've got the camera in a different place, and you can actually see what the studio looks like. The only person you can't see is Tony.
Which is no loss.
Which is no loss because he's been eating Fruit Loops and his mouth is blue.
And he hasn't shared.
And he didn't share with us, so he'll be lucky if he gets a donut. I was looking at the marquee outside that says WGCH Greenwich Radio. Greenwich Radio.
Is that unusual?
What's unusual is that AM radio is becoming almost a thing of the past because the kids are not listening to AM radio anymore. They're on their YouTube and all the rest
of it. They're not listening even to FM.
FM, I guess, is going the way of everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just if you don't have large audiences listening, it's a shame because there's lots of really beneficial things to listen to. But I think that satellite radio started it with subscription stuff and people going to that in their car, not wanting to listen to commercials. But I would say that I don't think you see anyone under 20 that is doing anything other than looking at their phone all the time.
Yeah.
And listening to music on some of these apps and downloading TikTok and all this crazy stuff. And, you know, we've become predominantly talk radio on this station, right? Are there any music shows, Tony?
There is a doo-wop show.
A doo-wop.
On Sundays.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. The bishop called me up and he said, you know, you really should do some tag sale stuff because that was really popular on WSTC. But I don't know that that's really in our best interest at this point.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, you know, a lot of people have called and said, thank you. You know, I learn a lot from this show. I learn about house things and stuff like that. And it's funny when you dance around with other stuff and you get into your rants. But the bottom line is the format has always been a home show of sorts. And, you know, I try and invite people on that can talk about real estate and talk about home repairs and new products and stuff like that, in order to make it more worthwhile for people that are listening that want to learn about it. I mean, certainly, Shar Barnes last week had some really interesting
stuff. Absolutely.
Good stuff to talk about, and we've had a number of guests over the years that have talked about new products and what they're doing, and Alex is, you know, when he gets here, we're going to talk
a little bit about
things with real estate and stuff. But, you know, people miss out on a lot of this stuff, and unless you're listening to podcasts on particular things, I don't think the kids are listening to podcasts.
I was just going to say it's more people, I guess, our age and slightly younger.
Who have an interest in a particular thing
right.
that they're focusing on. I don't know, but I like local stuff. I like the idea of local stuff. And for years, people used to tell me that they listened to WSDC or WGCH because they felt that it was part of the community. And it's a shame that we're losing some of that stuff. Stanford has lost it and Norwalk too with WSDC. And I don't know what fills the void. And I'm just really happy to be here and doing that in Greenwich now because, you know, however many people are listening, and we don't really have a good handle on how many people are listening, but there is a troop of people.
And we appreciate them.
And we do appreciate them.
Absolutely.
And if you want to call in, we're actually sitting in the studio.
Live.
Live. on a very short delay, and you can reach us at 203-661-5051, 203-661-5051. Don't know how many shows you can listen to on 105.5 or 1490 or on Facebook on my page and be part of that community. So if something is going on that you feel is important for the rest of those listeners to find out about,
well, they have the,
give us a call.
They have that Shire Barnes, and they're having that.
They're having their plant sale
this weekend. This
right now,
today,
right now,
I think, isn't it?
Right
yeah,
now,
yeah.
And that is at the Eastern Greenwich Civic Center. I promised her I would announce that, and it was from 8:30 to.
It's two, I think it was.
Yeah. Till 2
something
o'clock,
like that.
Something
and,
like
maybe
that.
Alex can stop there, get a couple of flowers, too, on the way.
Well, he's right there.
He's on his way.
Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be a rainy day. They're going to lose some people not going there, but it is an indoor event, I believe.
Yeah.
So try and go there. Try and spend some money on there because it's all for a good cause. And I believe there will be some refreshments there.
I think they're not doing that this year.
They're not doing the bake sale.
The bake sale.
But there may be something
that makes
else.
Sense. I understand.
You really want to support the Greenwich Gardeners.
Get there early because I went there after the show a couple of years ago.
And it was just pots of dirt.
Not that I would know the difference, but it was not the pick of the litter, no.
No, it wouldn't be the pick of the litter by then. But, you know, I would certainly recommend that if you're into plants and plantings, you should go there and take advantage of that and help a good cause.
And even if you're not into it, it's
then bring someone who is.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
there's so much in gardening.
Yeah, there is. You go, yeah. I didn't know that. And well, what is this thing? I've never seen this before. You know, so.
We're going to take a break. You're listening to Around the House. Stay with us. If you are experiencing problems with insects or rodents or bed bugs, almost any pest that is annoying you other than people, you need to call Usoli Pest Control. At 914-356-9084, a small family-owned and operated personalized service is offered at all times. Same-day service, 22 years of experience. He's local in the Greenwich area, so he's happy to respond to your needs. All of our services are guaranteed. And once again, it's Usoli Pest Control at usolipestcontrol.com and 914-356-9084. And it's Y-S-O-L-I Pest Control. And he's worked at my house, and I recommend him highly. Gutter Guys are located in Stamford, but they cover a good deal of lower Fairfield County. And, you know, a lot of times I see houses that don't have any gutters. And the builders will often say to me, oh, you don't need gutters. We've provided enough drainage around the outside of the house. And I will tell you, that is the most nonsensical thing. You need to control the water. When the water is coming down as rain or snow or hail or any other form of water, you need to control it. And so having gutters and leaders is a great idea. And some of the products that they sell include putting up new gutters, putting up new leader pipes, directing water away from the house, and they have all different types of gutter guards and leaf guards and all kinds of things that can make your maintenance much less. So you want to give them a call. It's the Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, 327-1346, and they do gutter cleaning and power washing, and they'll clean your skylights. Give them a call, Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, and tell them you heard it on Around the House.
Now back to Steve Gladstone and Around the House.
Thank you. Hmm. All right, we're back. And so putting together this swing set, I truly recommend to most people, don't do it.
Yeah.
Leave it in pieces. Let the kid figure it out.
Yeah, that's true.
The bottom line is, if you're not handy, this is an adventure in putting things together, following directions. It is much worse than putting together a little table from IKEA. And it requires drilling. It requires screw guns. It requires identifying hardware.
Welder's mask sometimes.
Angle braces on in different things and putting together. It's an adventure in putting stuff together. I did it once years ago. In my first house, I built the swing set, and I ended up with the worst sunburn in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't realize that I was just standing in the sun baking the whole time I was doing it. And I must have been doing it in a bathing suit and no shirt on, which I would never do again. You know, ever since that time.
For a variety of reasons,
probably. Ever since that time of getting so burnt that I stay out of the sun. Avoid the sun as much as possible. The amount of hours spent trying to put this thing together and trying to follow the directions properly is not for the
squeamish. Let's put it that way.
Not for squeamish. That's a good way of putting it. And you know, maybe it'll get finished tomorrow. Maybe.
And you know,
but it's going to take all day.
And if you decide you are going to do it, think again. You know, those things.
Well,
always
think about letting someone else help you at the very least. This is not a job for one person. And you know, Jamie and I have been working together, and then she was working because I was working all day yesterday. So she was working on different parts of it that she could put together. But getting the thing in a level spot, getting everything together, it's just an adventure. And I'm a little worried about, you know, it wasn't inexpensive, and yet I'm not thrilled with all the components the way they go together. And granted, it's for little kids, but big kids end up climbing on them, and I don't want it to break.
Yeah.
And I tore down the other one because it had rotted. And it was time, you know, it was over 10 years of it being up there and having been rebuilt several times and moved several times. But this time, I may end up replacing some wood already on it because I don't like the way some of these little screws weren't supposed to crack the wood, but there's a couple of cracks in a few places. Not something that's structural, but something that's annoying.
Yeah, and you know? Shouldn't be there. Shouldn't, right,
and,
right.
Nothing should break. I mean, you know, it's just foolishness. So other things that are going on around the house, last year I entered that train contest.
Yes.
And, spent a lot of time creating something that I thought ended up looking really cool. And they didn't like my roadways.
Everything
my roadways,
else was fine.
My faux asphalt was too shiny for them. Didn't like that.
Maybe it was raining that day.
Whatever.
You know?
They didn't like that, so I didn't place, okay? And I said to them, how about some feedback on what I did that didn't put me...
Right, yeah, because, right, shouldn't do
you know,
it. Right.
Anyone who enters a contest should get some feedback. You know, at least tell me what you didn't like, so the next time I would, you know, change things. But I'm running out of time. It's already the 8th, and this particular year, it's got to be in by the end of this month.
Wow.
And although I've built several of the buildings, I haven't weathered everything. I don't have the layout set up. And I'm just thinking I'm just not going to meet this deadline. So maybe I've just been playing.
Can you use that next year? Or do they change
something? They changed the contest entry pieces. So today... for this year, I had a choice of three different things, a downtown thing, a farm thing, and something else. So I chose the farm thing because I didn't have anything like that on my train layout. And I figured, all right, well, I can always put this somewhere.
Right.
Okay. Because I completely took apart the other thing that I built last year. That's gone. I took pictures of it, and that's gone. So this year I was going to do this whole farm scene with a grain elevator and a farm collective. No, it's cool. I've been building it.
Yeah.
But I don't think in the next 20 days I can get it all together enough to make it worthy of submitting. So that's just the way it's going to be. Which is unfortunate, but not the end of the world either. I mean, it's just, you know, what I
spend. Something you like to do.
I spend $100. Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
It's something I like to do, but I'm a little frustrated by it because we've been so busy that I just don't have time to go down in the basement and play. Even though I keep saying to myself, "You're working too hard. You should really take some days off. You should really not be going on every inspection and blah 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 blah." And I could be playing more, or I could be doing something like putting together the swing set, or I could be playing with the chickens, or it's never ending.
I got a new headboard.
You did?
I did, yes. And it's iron and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it worked out well. The directions were great, except it's a little tough because it's only me, you know, when you're trying to level or whatever. And, you got to move the bed around. Sure. I mean, it's work, but it was great. But most things you do like that, the drawings are nice drawings, but they're not helpful. You know,
I would think that would be a great job for you, that you could take someone's instructions and alter them to make them user friendly.
You know, I thought about that. I actually thought about that, and a lot of different things. I said, you know what? This is far too complicated, and you're using language that is not helpful, you know, or not that you're not aware of in any other situation. And I don't know how much that would pay, but it would be interesting.
Well, the thing is that when you get instructions from a company that are just a nightmare, you should contact that company and say to them, "I could do this for you.
And I could do it better.
And I could do it better. I could do it so that people would be smiling while they're putting it together.
Yeah.
Because we could even add some humor into it.
Yes, that's a possibility.
Now that you've done this backwards.
You know what?
Here's what we should really be doing. Yeah. Because I have done that. I have actually put together cribs backwards and had to take them completely apart because we had the part that kicks the side of the crib down so you can get to the baby in the wrong position. And the only way to fix it was to dismantle the whole thing and start over.
God. Yeah.
And this is after spending hours putting things together because one little stupid comment was missing that said, "Be sure that this is facing outward."
You see, it's all right. Right.
It's not like it's a complicated thing. It's just that they assume you know what you're doing.
Because they work on that stuff all the time.
You know? Someone who puts these swing sets together on a regular basis doesn't need instructions.
Right.
They're used to putting that. They know which parts go together.
Right. And what's wrong.
But
and
somebody
what's
who's buying something from IKEA that's looking at stick figures, putting things together, is going to be confused by part 13, which looks like part 15.
Right.
Okay? So I would think that there'd be a tremendous opportunity for somebody who understands clarity to be putting something like that together.
Hmm. That's a good idea. Well, take care, guys.
All right.
I'm heading out.
See ya. So much for Gene.
But that's true because it's after all these years, they should have figured it out how to do it the right way.
Well, you know, how many times do you get something that comes from China that it's obvious that the person who wrote it together knew very rudimentary English? And so the phrasing is weird. The words are I have an employee that likes to put S's at the end of words. So he'll say screens instead of screen or screen porch. He'll say, he'll say screen porch or screened porch. It's because his English is not his first language that he's doing really well for it being a second language, but it doesn't really fit into the reports properly because we want to be clear. So I have to go through and make sure that the spelling is correct and the phrasing is correct, and it's singular or plural depending on what it should be. And this is what we get with instructions all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so frustrating because you have something, it's brand new, you want to put it together and enjoy it, and where's that? It says 5 screws, I only see 4.
Yeah.
You know, well, or whatever, it, you know.
I have to say that the swing set came with all the parts, 4 different boxes with parts. Phew. Each envelope of parts, had... serial numbers and identifying sheets and stuff. They did a good job with that.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just that when you have to go through 4 boxes looking for SO19, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
But there was so much hardware, it's unbelievable.
Well, lesson learned.
Yeah, lesson learned. So if you're on Facebook with us, identify yourself. Tell us who you are. Tell us that you're there. That would be nice.
We want to know who you are. What was that?
We do want to know. I don't know. People are
calling.
Sending
messages.
Yeah. And congratulations to Matthew Gladstone, who is a Spanish teacher at Stanford High,
mm-hmm.
who passed his administrator's exam, which is great.
So what is that?
It allows him to apply for... assistant principal or principal in a school or be eligible for that.
So he wants to climb
the ladder? I don't know
what
he wants to do.
But he got it.
It was time.
Oh,
it was
cool.
Time for him to pass that.
Does he still go to Spain and with his kids?
He has been going to Spain every couple of years with kids and taking them on learning adventures and stuff like that. It's exciting.
That would be fun to do.
It's exciting. 1 year he invited me, and I I can't go away. I can't escape right now. And I'm not sure that this is the right time to be going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I feel terrible. I feel absolutely terrible for what's going on in India right now.
Oh, it's
and,
a mess.
You know, talking about that, people, if you've got some extra money, do a little donating to AmeriCares or to any of the organizations that are providing vaccines or doctors or help for oxygen and ventilators, mm-hmm. and anything that is going to help that country get out from under it. If you are interested in donating, there are a lot of different ways that you can donate. Brazil is in trouble. India is in trouble. You know, you have to feel for these people. They don't have enough doctors. They don't have enough medical facilities. I think they probably have plenty of vaccine. They just don't have people to give the vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
And how awful it must be for someone to get sick, bring their relative to a hospital, and have the workers fearing for their lives, so they're leaving the hospital because people are beating them up. People are so frustrated, they don't know what to do. And that's a terrible thing. And these countries that have such large populations, the spread of the disease is such an easy thing because there's large groupings of families and all the rest of it. So if you've got some money, put some money into donating to some of these organizations that are helping, because they certainly need help right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... Even in the more remote areas, too, you know, people are coming down with it. And like you're saying, you know, you have to drive how many hours to get a doctor
Hundreds of thousands of people are not only getting sick, but are dying.
Yeah.
And this is like nothing we've ever experienced, you know, and we're in this country, we're starting to come out from under it. We're starting to feel that we're getting back to a degree of normalcy. But not everyone is.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm saying to people, have you had your shots? And they're all saying, yeah, I've had 2. It's been weeks. But I'm still coming upon people who have said, no, I don't want to get a shot. And that's really foolish.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, there are people who believe that by getting the shot, you're going to get COVID-19. And there's nothing in that shot that will give you COVID-19. And people have said, well, it's too new. I'm not sure it's experimental. It's not a new vaccine. It's an old vaccine that has been shown to work. And so it's not new technology. It's just that they've tweaked it a little bit so that it will attack that virus if you get that virus.
And they've been working on this for years.
Correct.
In the lab, because they knew this was going to happen at some point.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, we have to handle this now. No, they've been doing that all this time.
So if you're afraid...
Look at this.
it's only 40 minutes late.
You are the man, Alex.
That's just for him.
Oh, my goodness. So we've been stalling, waiting for Alex Troy to show up.
Just pan that camera so we can see the largesse that Alex has brought here.
This is a unique situation here.
Mm. Yes.
This is what happens when I figure out what time I'm supposed to be.
Meanwhile, look at what he's doing. He's going right for his iced tea. Doesn't
so
hand
I can pass
this
over.
What did you buy us?
Oh. I have no idea. It's assorted.
Assorted.
So it's a surprise every time.
Everything is a surprise. That's nice.
I actually had a great idea for Gene as I was listening to you guys about the instructions for IKEA and assembly.
Yes.
Yeah. You should do a YouTube channel where you just build them, because with your sense of humor, having you actually follow terrible instructions could make for a great show.
I'm leaving early.
I like that idea.
That's a good idea. Too. You never know what's going to end up being the end product.
The final product.
Right.
Because you know that's going to happen.
Send me your product.
Nothing near.
I'll build everything. Whatever you bought.
You know? That's another one.
Show a picture of the box, what it's supposed to look like, and what it actually came out.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
I like that idea. It's just that you have to go buy stuff.
That's true.
That's all right. Well,
you can probably get donors. Whether you're on camera or not.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Alex. That's really cool.
That's a good idea.
There you go. I come with ideas.
You do. He's already contributed to the show.
And donuts. Donuts
and ideas.
Yeah.
We'll make this a little sweeter. On the go walk-in, where'd you go?
The one on the Prospect in Stanford.
Oh.
I had to think of a place that had donuts.
They don't have any donuts?
Lots of places have donuts. The place across the street's got donuts. Yeah,
I actually ran into a client there, which is the reason I was even later.
Nice.
There's always questions. You're always on the clock as an attorney.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Because I'm always feeling I'm on the clock.
Especially with your family. There's always questions.
Move over a little bit so that you're on camera here.
Yep. Yeah, you can actually be on camera now.
Yeah, I put the camera all the way up there. It's working.
You see your nose.
It's a setup you got here now with the camera.
Well, we're only here 2 weeks now. This is the second week that we're actually in the studio. So if you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051. And
pizza. We need stuff for lunch. So if you're coming over, pizza.
We're not staying
next
that
time
late.
I'll bring pizza.
We're not staying that late. So Alex Troib is here, and Alex is a real estate attorney, a partner at where?
Benjamin Golden Troib in Stanford.
Benjamin Golden Troib. Gee, your name is at the end.
How long did it take you to get that? Or is that from the...
Oh, he was 4 years old when he started.
Yeah, I was 18 when I first started at the firm.
But, I mean, to get your name up there.
Oh, yeah. A while.
Yeah.
It still hurts.
But you got about there.
He was ready before they were.
10, 12 years of practice.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's great. It's great that you are a partner. And a principal. Mm-hmm. And
you don't have to park across the street anymore. Is that it?
Yeah, he got his own parking space. Yeah, and he got a key to the bathroom in the hallway.
Really?
Yeah, that's a bonus,
man.
He used to have to just hold on to the key and give it back.
Man.
Now he's got his own key. I don't want to make fun of you that much.
That's what he's here for, isn't it?
Alex is a terrific attorney. And has dealt with a bunch of things with us, and has made a million referrals to us for clients and stuff. So I'm happy to have you here.
It's because you're the best looking home inspector in Fairfield County, as they say. That's what I'm told over and over
again. We try. We absolutely try. So what's going on in real estate since you're here?
It is a zoo. It is unbelievable.
Still crazy?
Oh. Crazier in some ways. So the interesting thing is at the very beginning of the pandemic, It was incredibly quiet, right? So January, February of last year, everyone was afraid of losing their jobs. No one's going to take out a mortgage if you're not sure what's going to happen. And then March, April, and May, we started to see people running from New York. And so that was another peak. There wasn't that much inventory at the time, but there was suddenly a lot of buyers. And as the prices started to skyrocket because people were desperate to buy a house and they were paying what at the time was seen as overpaying for houses, other people started to see it, and so they would start to list their houses, and the market just went completely bananas. What's happened since is a lot of people seeing all of these houses sell so quickly are starting to sell their homes, even if they weren't planning to do it, just to take advantage of it. And you see these situations now where there's still a lot more demand than actual sellers, right? There's just not enough properties that are on the market. People are paying way over asking price.
They're fighting over it.
Right. People are forced to waive contingencies. I see a lot of realtors convincing their clients to just give up basic things like inspections, speaking of that, mortgage contingencies, all of these really dangerous provisions, which, you know, if you're properly prepared, you can take that chance. But very often they haven't spoken to their attorneys yet. They don't know exactly what that means. They haven't spoken to the bank sometimes. But they think, well, I have good credit, I'll take my chances, which is just a recipe for disaster. And we're seeing still tremendous amount of that. And what I'm starting to see now, interestingly, is the flip side of that, where sellers are getting really overconfident and making decisions which are just not good, because they think, well, I'm just going to put it back and I'll find somebody else. And so certain things that they should perhaps take care of are relative to the property that any buyer is going to see a problem with. A lot of sellers now think, well, I'll find somebody. I'm just going to put it in the market. I'll get 10 more offers and someone will take it the way it is.
Yeah.
So it's very strange.
We are in time. We have to take a break. We're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and we're going to really delve into this, because I have some very strong feelings about this. So stay with us a second, and we'll be right back. If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in, and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes right after the radio show. I go run into the classes, and it's a 10-day class, so 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar, and you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is New England School of Home Inspection.com. New England School of Home Inspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824. Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719. 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719. So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys and about 5 trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com or 203-540-1533. 203-540-1533. Jonathan's Painting Service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves, and I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service, 203-540-1533.
You're listening to Around the House with Steve Gladstone.
That be you.
Oh, wow.
There you go. That was done live.
Yeah, I never know what he's going to play. That's the fun he has there, is he's got access to all of those. And Alex is here, and we're talking about real estate. And one of the things that has been absolutely angering me is that people are calling me up and saying, my realtor has told me I have 2 days to get the house inspected, and they're telling me that I should waive all my contingencies. And I really think that this is a very dangerous time. People are spending at least $500,000 on these properties, and many times many millions of dollars. They're justifying it by the mortgage rates being low. And I think of it as the Connecticut New York Marathon. It is, you know, people are just running here from New York. And I wonder what it's going to be like 2 years from now when they realize what a mistake they may have made because they have bought something that they really didn't do enough due diligence on. And it's going to require a lot more work than maybe they want to put into it. And they're all, it seems to me that the clientele that I'm doing inspections for, as lovely as they are, as smart as they are, they all want big pieces of property, big houses, and swimming pools. And I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, it's like, and then they walk in and they say things like, well, we're going to tear down the kitchen. We're going to renovate this. We're going to take this wall out there. They're not thinking short-term, long-term. They're not really thinking about how much money it costs to operate. You know, a lot of these people are coming from 800-square-foot apartments.
Yeah.
And all they've ever done in their lives is say to the super, I need a light bulb.
And how often have you seen situations where the pools are closed, especially in the fall? The sellers in this market have the luxury of saying, you don't get to inspect it. You'll have to take your chances. And people are so desperate for the house that they want it with this giant pool. They'll buy the pool sight unseen, not knowing how many thousands of dollars you're going to have to put into the pool to try to get it up to working.
That's crazy.
So, you know, I feel a tremendous responsibility to really look as carefully as possible at these houses. But I've got some of these people that are saying to me, we're in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Inspect the house for us and let us know what's wrong. They're not even coming to the house. And then I have these other people that have said to me, we've never been in here before. We've only looked at a video.
I have a situation now with a client where they are relying on the realtor too much. And A, it's not fair to the realtor because it's a recipe for disaster. And B, it's a situation where you're going to move into the house eventually and you're not going to be happy. And I'll give you a perfect example. So the inspector does the inspection. There's a number of things wrong. They go back and forth, negotiate how it's going to be remedied, right? How it's going to be corrected. So the seller is responsible to make the repairs. The sellers are working on it through a questionably qualified person, but purportedly this person is qualified. The buyers have not gone to see the repairs. They can't take the time off. They don't want to be bothered, whatever the situation is. So they are telling the realtor to go over to the house and check on the repairs. And they essentially have already said to the realtor, you know what, we're just going to rely on you to tell us, you know, if it's done, if it's not done. But this is a house you're going to be buying, right? You're going to be living there. You're spending well over $2 million on the house. Are you? And there's extensive repairs, some of which are aesthetic, right? So you might like the way the deck is redone. They might not, and it's a mess. And so to rely on essentially the taste of another person, to me, is just crazy. But it's exactly what you're talking about. People who are doing remote showings, people who are kind of relying on the building inspector and the realtor and not actually coming to the house. And sometimes they'll go to the walkthrough, and sometimes the same thing. They'll just rely on the inspector. So you've literally never seen your house. You've bought it. There is no takesies, backsies, for lack of a better term, right? You can't go back after the closing and say, well, we're not happy with the way you redid the deck. No, that book is closed. It's stunning to me that someone would invest that kind of money and not actually see the house.
And it's not just one person doing that.
Right. No,
several.
It's hundreds of people doing it. And the problem is that the long-term implications of all of this stuff, people are buying houses with 15-year-old air conditioning and heating systems. We know as home inspectors that those have a design life of 15 years and that they're going to break at some point over the next year or two or three or four. There's no way to warn them of it other than say these are nearing the end of their design life. But these are people who may be spending all of their money, all of their parents' money that they've borrowed, all of the bank's money that they've borrowed, and they're going to be sitting in a house that now they have to furnish. Now they've got older roofing. They've got older appliances. They've been talking about doing kitchens. They don't understand how expensive doing a kitchen might be in Fairfield County. Because you could easily spend over $100,000 doing a kitchen. You can easily spend over $10,000 doing a bathroom. And I've got people saying to me, oh, we're going to redo all the bathrooms. And then at the same time, they're moving into a house that they have no relationships with any contractors except people in New York who aren't going to come to Fairfield County and, you know, unless they're going to live in their house for a while. And do renovations. So they're going to be on a six-month waiting list waiting for somebody to come in and do it. And the price of lumber, Marek was telling us the other day, that the price of lumber has gone up extraordinarily, where a piece of plywood used to sell for $50, which was outrageous. Now it's selling for $70, $75.
Is that because of this, or is it
a combination of things?
It's
but
the
it
economy,
is one of them.
It's the virus, it's a whole bunch of things. And getting people to come out and commit to your job means that you're going to have trouble getting the good guys, so you're going to get quotes from the bad guys, and then you're going to get yourself in trouble. When we come back after the news and weather, we're going to continue this rant and probably make you all feel a little more uncomfortable. But maybe give some sellers some ideas about things that they can do before the house goes on the market. And you're listening to Around the House.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
USA Radio News. with Mike Fortier.
Our economic recovery from COVID hits a snag. The April jobs report released Friday disappoints economists. Less than 300,000 jobs added. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick tells USA Radio News this shows we have an uphill climb ahead as we try to recover the jobs lost during the pandemic.
We got only 266,000 jobs added on the month. That makes for an average over the past 3 months of about 500,000 jobs. We need to get back 8.4 million jobs to get restored to pre-pandemic levels. And there's still close to 10 million officially unemployed.
Black unemployment rising to almost 10%, white unemployment falling to less than 5.5%. President Biden planning to meet next week with Republican senators to discuss his infrastructure plan. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy among the participants. The White House says the meetings will help find common ground in what the plan should focus on and how to pay for it. This is USA Radio News.
You hear that? That is the sound. No, that is the sound of the wrecker. That is the sound of the tow truck. That is the sound of your car stuck in the snow and the tow truck is on it. You know what the tow truck is coming for? The tow truck is coming for your wallet. That's what it's coming for. I know. That's what it's coming for. Listen, this is Billy Gerard here, Rockstar Radio. And I have the solution. It is called Track Grabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there. TrackGrabber.com. Winter is coming. Do not let this sound be you. Track Grabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there. Get these. They are inexpensive. They will save you a fortune in the long run, and they will save you from getting stuck. Go to trackgrabber.com. Log on. Get yourself a pair. Get a pair for the family. They're easy to install, and they will get you out of the mud, the snow, the sand. They will save you from the wrecker bills. Oh, my goodness. They will pay for themselves the first time you use them. Trackgrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR saves 25%. That's trackgrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR.
A falling rocket heading for Earth. A Chinese rocket could enter our atmosphere as soon as today, but no one knows where. The rocket weighs 22 tons and it's falling at a speed of 18,000 miles an hour. Experts say it'll likely land in the ocean and the risk of damage to anyone on the ground is small. Preteens could soon be eligible to get the COVID vaccine. Pfizer requesting emergency use authorization to allow the vaccine to be administered to those between 12 and 15 years old. The FDA and CDC holding meetings next week to consider the EUA request. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky addresses concerns parents may have about getting their kids vaccinated.
These vaccines have been tested in hundreds, in 100,000 people in clinical trials, and in about 2,500 children, 2,300 children in the context of these trials for safety in the younger ages, the 12 to 15-year-olds.
Dr. Walensky on ABC's The View Friday. In that study, she cites some children showed side effects like pain, fever, chills, and fatigue. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. Get a hold of my book. It's all in your head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
While Pfizer seeks EUA for vaccinating those as young as 12, it's also seeking full approval of its COVID vaccine. Tim Berg has more.
Drug maker Pfizer says it's hopeful for full FDA approval of its coronavirus vaccine in the coming months. The vaccine is being administered in the United States under emergency use authorization at the moment. Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, tells ABC's Good Morning America this could make a big difference in the fight against the pandemic.
It's great. It's big. It's important. Here's why. Obviously, on some level, day-to-day, vaccinations will continue, and in that way, it's not a huge deal. But it's a signal that we have so much safety data now on millions and tens of millions of people that we can get the full authorization, the full approval. It'll also give confidence to a lot of people who've been on the fence, businesses that want to mandate it for workers coming back. So I do think it'll end up being a big deal.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The Octomom has been beat out by a Nanu Mom. Wendy King has the story.
A woman in Mali has given birth to 9 babies. 25-year-old Halima Cisse gave birth by cesarean section to 4 boys and 5 girls on Tuesday. The nonuplets have yet to be verified by the Guinness Book of World Records for the most births from a single woman. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Considerable cloudiness today with a few showers developing. Cool temperatures near 55. Any showers ending tonight, then gradual clearing with lows 40 to 45. Clouds move back in for the day tomorrow with rain developing during the late afternoon, 60 to 65. That rain tapers to showers on Monday, then becoming partly sunny, lower 60s, mostly sunny on Tuesday around 60. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
Well, I have to say, I don't like that weather forecast at all. That's 3 days of rain. The grass is going to be green. The plants are going to rise.
They're doing that now pretty well.
Get over to the Civic Center and take a look at some of those plants. At least don't make that a washout. All right, so...
Actually, but before we get back to that, did you read or hear that in the town of Wilton, they're encouraging people not to mow their lawns until June, I think, to let the grass grow out and I don't know what?
Saving water, is that what it is?
It's supposed to be it's something like that. I don't know about saving water, but maybe having just a very healthier grass.
I'm sure the landscapers are thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, my guy wants to be there on every Friday, regardless, because then he can send me a bill every week. Yeah. What I have to do is I have to get my irrigation guy out there, Elmer, and get him to fix some of the heads that I see are broken because the lawnmower has hit them and stuff like that. You know, every year there's a little adventure. The first adventure was having Bernal the other day came over and took down another tree. That was... $1,500 for a tree because it was, we looked up and there was no buds on the tree. I knew that was trouble. So we took that down and then he told me that there's another one that's not looking too healthy. So every year I get to spend money on tree removal.
After all these years of planting all these things and having them grow.
Every year I plant trees. Yeah. But every year I end up taking down something that's been there for 50 years.
You do have a life.
This has been a tree week. We have a tree that almost jeopardized a huge development. This one really, really old tree that you can't take down has jeopardized like a multi-million dollar development.
Yeah.
Why can't you? What's the problem? You can't take it down.
It's tough. You have to go through the city. You have
there
to
are
get
tree wardens. Right. And yeah, a lot. You know, that's why I'm lucky. I'm taking down stuff on my own property. Yeah. You know, it's not as big a deal. But some towns restrict you cutting down trees without permission. So
it's a whole process.
Even if it's on your property. The house that we did yesterday in Southport has got all kinds of restrictions as far as additions and renovations and stuff because it's in a historical area. And that one kills me. I would never, ever buy... I love my old house, but I would never buy a house that has a plaque on it because all of a sudden somebody down the street can tell me what color my front door is.
Well, that's terrible.
I have an interesting story for you about that. I had a client who was buying a house. It was on the water, and it was in a historic district. And what we learned was that, and this is why you do due diligence, which is what people don't have the luxury of doing right now. But after investigating it, what we learned is if there's ever a major storm or something like that and the house is damaged, you would have to, under the new regulations, raise the whole structure 16 feet. Can you imagine?
16 feet?
Right, from its current location.
Do you know what that costs?
Oh, it gets better. Not only do you have to raise the entire structure 16 feet, but because it's in a historic district, you also have to make sure that the new structure still looks essentially the same as the old one. And I would love to know how you make a house that's 16 feet taller than it used to be look the way that it did before.
You have to put a very tilted driveway getting up to that garage.
Which is why you pay a lawyer before you do that.
That garage becomes the family room.
Well, here's what you do, okay? You dig out a huge ditch, and you put that 16 feet in there.
In the ground,
So you lower the property.
You lower the property, and it still looks
the same. I'm sure that's exactly what
they
meant.
Now it fills in. When the flood comes, you're in the lake.
But it's historic.
It becomes an indoor pool. Your living room converts into an indoor pool.
Right, perfect.
Kind of nice. You just tile it.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, so One of the things that we're experiencing is this crowd of inexperienced homeowners buying big houses. But many times, because the sellers are experiencing such a flurry of activity that they're not doing anything to get the house ready for sale. And, you know, what we often recommend to people is that they have their home pre-inspected so that they can find out what the problems are before they put it on the market. Find out if you have a radon problem. Find out if your well is contaminated. Because you could be drinking that water and used to it, but the next person could be getting diarrhea or getting sick.
Those are things nobody would think of to do.
But these are the things that you need to do. You need to clear the countertops. You need to declutter. You need to clean up areas. You need to move things out of closets and attic spaces so people can really see what they're buying. Okay, you need to fix the leaky pipes. You need to soup up or tune up the heating systems and stuff like that. You need to take the filters out. You need to, you know, how many houses we go into where I find dead mice in the basement because nobody bothers to even pick up the dead mice and get rid of them. Making the house more saleable means that you can get more money for it.
Logical.
So investing in your house is a really good idea.
I can add a few things to that list, too.
Okay.
From the legal side, check with the building department. Make sure you don't have any open building permits. It's shocking how often that happens. A lot of the times, contracts with contractors, especially less reputable contractors, will say that the contractor will pull your permits. So everyone assumes that that also implies they're going to close the permits, but a lot of the contracts don't actually say that because it's much more of a hassle. So you'll find that, you know, you had a small project or a big project, whatever it was, and there's still an open permit.
3 years ago.
When the buyer's right. And if it's 8 years ago, it's still going to be an issue. Nine, now we have a statute. But what's going to happen is the buyer is going to do a municipal search. This is going to come up. And then at the 11th hour, you're going to be scrambling to try to figure this out and paying for it. Another thing you can do is, and this is especially true for anyone that's refinanced a house without an attorney. Very often, banks don't actually record releases, and you see a ton of that. When you have an attorney involved, the attorney is kind of responsible to the bank to make sure it gets released and to the title company. But a lot of times, people will go to their bank or they'll get a call from the bank saying, oh, we can get you a better rate if you refinance, and they'll send you to a notary. So without going through all of the why you shouldn't do that, but one of the side effects is the notary's obligation is to show up, say that you are who you are and you're the person that signed it, and they leave. They have no further interaction with the file. They can't answer any questions about it, but they also don't have to check with the bank to make sure that old mortgage was properly released. Wow. And so what ends up now is you go to sell it, the buyers do their title search, and they see that not only do you have an open mortgage that you knew about, but you have this other $300,000 mortgage that's still technically on title and could theoretically foreclose. So now again, at the 11th hour, you're scrambling to try to do it. And if this is an older bank that was acquired by another bank, this could take months.
Oh, my God.
So what you can do is you can check with the city and, you know, we can go through how to do it. But you can check to see if that's your case so that you can get ahead of the problem or tell your lawyer as early as possible about it so that they can try to help you work through this as you're going through the process of pre-inspections, you know, doing the due diligence to figure out what your price is going to be. The attorney can start working on it.
And that's why you need an attorney.
Ideally. But some of this stuff you can do yourself, just preliminary due diligence.
People want to cut corners right now because they want to move things along quickly. And the problem with moving it along quickly is that you could end up hurting yourself. If you don't know that there's a lien on the building, if there's outstanding taxes, if there are any number of financial things, if somebody has got an easement going across that property, or there's power lines on the property that the power company's got an easement, all of a sudden there could be a truck driving across your lawn, and they have every right in the world to do it.
Wow. Okay?
I've seen people that have put an addition to their house over an area that had a sewer easement. So there is a pipe underneath it. Under the terms of the easement, the utility company has the right to come on there and service their pipe. So they put an entire addition over it, not knowing about it. And if ever there is a problem with the pipe, they are responsible for essentially demolishing the whole thing so the company has access to the pipes.
Oh, my gosh. And I have a question. What is the end game on it? Do people who are coming here and doing all the things that you were saying, and they buy a house, are they hoping to sell it for a profit at some point? Or they deserve to look?
I think everybody is hoping to sell their house
for
a profit.
But, I mean, at these rates, you know, they're expecting it to go higher.
So I think it's a combination. For some people, especially early in the pandemic, it wasn't so much logic and rational thought. It was about, I have to get out of the city.
Right.
And sometimes they would compromise on a house and say, okay, this isn't the house I dreamed of, but, you know, it's a house and it's not in the city.
Right.
Okay. The interesting thing is some people, and this goes back to a point that Steve made earlier on the show, some people are sitting looking at the rental amounts and how much higher it could be than potentially a mortgage at a really low rate. And so they're thinking, you know, on a cash flow basis, it will save me money month to month because my mortgage payment will be lower than what I'm paying in rent. The reality is, if you didn't do an inspection and you buy that house, and then you have all of these kinds of various issues with the house because you didn't know there's issues with this system and that system, now you were expecting to save money. Instead, you could be out $10,000, $20,000, $15,000, whatever it is, because you had to put on a new roof or you need a new water heater or you need a new HVAC system or whatever it is. And this is another reason why, especially for people that are looking at it from a savings standpoint, not doing an inspection could potentially cost you a lot of money very early on, where you just had this massive outlay for title fees, legal fees, bank application fees, all of these things. People generally are cash strapped. A friend of ours, Andy Bogdan, says all the time that, you know, someone who just bought a house usually doesn't make investments into the house for the first year because they're out of cash.
Right.
So that's the worst time to find out that there's problems.
The other piece of the calculation that a lot of these people coming from New York are banking on is that they were spending money on private school in the city.
Mm.
And now they're moving out to Wilton or Greenwich or Westport. And now they're going to use the public schools, which have a good reputation. They won't have to spend $50,000 or $60,000 per child for private schools. So they're banking on that. But they're not always thinking about that it's not so easy to get those kids into those schools. Sometimes there's waiting lists. Sometimes there are additional fees that they don't understand, that you just don't join the golf club.
You know, just sign up,
And become a member. That there are waiting times and building fees and all kinds of things that come into play. What I'm also experiencing is a lot of people that have lived in the area, in the better school district areas, are moving to the worst school, not the worst, but to not as good school areas because their kids have grown. So now they're selling their house in Westport and moving to Norwalk because they don't need the schools anymore.
Wow. Okay.
And so we have this, musical chairs kind of thing going on. But I don't know who's winning because the prices are so high for the houses now. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, speaking of musical chairs, the other interesting thing that we're seeing is people are seeing how high the prices are, so they'll sell their home thinking they're going to downsize. In a similar situation, kids are out of the house. But because inventory is what it is and you're submitting multiple offers and losing, they're saying, well, we'll take a rental for a little bit and then we'll buy the house. And what they're finding is you'll take that rental, but you're struggling to find the house. And now you're stuck in this rental for a while.
And the rentals are going up big time because a lot of these kids are coming to Stanford and paying $3,000 a month rental.
And that's luckily, they keep building, so that's artificially keeping prices semi-reasonable.
And you just moved. Didn't your rent go up?
Or? No, because it's a smaller place. Yeah. But the place we were in, they were having they were having a problem selling it because they thought it was worth more than what it really was worth. And so he's losing money because we moved out.
And he's not, and has
no
rent.
No, nothing's coming in.
Why don't you tell him you moved back in for half price?
I thought of that. Believe me. You know, but I have a new show to do now, so I have to do a new hobby. Hmm. But, and it was crazy, and they're building over there in Norwalk where I was, and
building everywhere.
Stanford
crazy.
Is still going up.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to drive through the middle of Stanford and see the skyline that has developed.
Mm-hmm.
You drive through Atlantic Street now, and it's like nowhere I've ever been before. It's just amazing. And all of those rental units are getting rented. All of the stuff in the South End is getting rented. And they just want to keep building more and more. And it's affecting my neighborhood in Waterside now, where the school is. Because the junkyards and some of the other stuff that has been landscaping places and things, they're going to be buildings. They're going to be gone. They're going to, you know, it's industrial, but it's going to ultimately be.
There's a very interesting issue in Stanford. Oh, go ahead.
We got to take a break. Right. So let's take a break and then we'll come back. If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11 trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy, they also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. Green Solutions Landscaping and Tree Services is a licensed and insured full-service provider of landscaping, tree removal, masonry, snow removal, and other property maintenance projects. Green Solutions has been serving Fairfield County since 2011 and is operated and managed by Bernal Mora. Green Solutions offers its customers a comprehensive suite of services, which will make your property something to be proud of all year long. At Green Solutions, we treat your property as if it was our own. We provide free estimates and references upon request. And they get involved with property management, seasonal cleanups, weeding, pruning, mulching, weekly mowing, planting, grass seeding and sod, irrigation systems, lawn aeration, gutter cleanup, poison ivy removal, masonry, tree removal, fencing, firewood, installation of Christmas lights, and landscaping construction projects, and even snow removal during the winter. So if you want to give them a call, it's 203-400-4949. That's 203-400-4949. www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. That's a mouthful. So www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. And once again, 203-400-4949. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the window people. They've been in business over 80 years doing home improvements and creating home improvement excellence. Ted Davey and I have been friends for more than 35 years, and they're located at 43 McGee Avenue in Stamford. The window people do all kinds of home improvements at this point, not only windows and doors, but they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing all kinds of improvements. Their website is www.thewindowpeople.net. You can reach them by dialing 203-323-1804. They've been selling and installing high-quality windows, doors, roofing, skylights, siding, awnings, selling it to homeowners and contractors and businesses in Fairfield and Westchester counties since 1932. And Ted Davey is involved with every aspect of it, and a friend of mine. So when you call him, tell him Steve Gladstone told you to call.
Hello, this is Jay Leno, and you're listening to the annoying Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
Thanks, Jay. All right, I got to talk about Andrew Bogdan's Budget Blinds. Budget Blinds of Stamford and Greenwich and New Canaan and Darien and all these little townships all around. And if you have naked windows, you want to fill those naked windows so that your neighbors are not watching you or you're not watching your neighbors with blinds or plantation blinds or shades or draperies or all kinds of different window treatments that he's got in his display van. So he pulls up to your driveway and he can bring in all different samples, or you can go out and look in the truck and see all the different things that he's got. He'll sit down with you and have a discussion about what you're desiring and show you all the color samples, and then he professionally measures, and that is probably one of the more significant things, is he's going to measure and get it right. He's not going to say, well, it's about. He's going to measure it properly. And then when the order comes in, Victor's going to show up and neatly and cleanly install your window treatments. And they offer a really 5-year, no question asked warranty on most of their items. And some of their items even go beyond that. And so if anything goes wrong or anything makes you unhappy, you can reorder the same order again and have it shipped to you and installed without any questions asked. Now, you just don't get that with anything else. And the personalized service is really important. We've had budget blinds install a number of things in our house, and it's always so easy. It's good quality stuff, many different brands, all the big brands. But if you need something in particular, he can get it for you. The automated blinds that we got just work great. And, you know, sometimes it's just too sunny in the kitchen, and all I have to do is push a remote and the shades drop down. And all you have to do is to start the process is call 203-580-3362. 203-580-3362. Style and service for every budget. And let them know that you heard it on Around the House.
They can save you from being your own worst enemy. Because you start going online and you're like, oh, I'm going to get this and that, and you don't even realize it's not going to work on that window, it's not going to fit, or what you think it's going to happen, or what it's going to do is not really what it's going to do. So sometimes you actually need someone to say, you don't actually want that because this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But if you want something that does this, here's something that could actually work for you.
Years ago, people bought mini blinds from some places, and the mini blinds had lead in them.
Oh.
And we ended up doing testing on mini blinds for lead. And a lot of them, the plastic blinds that they bought at Sears or they bought at different places, had to be thrown away because they had a high lead content. That's the kind of craziness that you come upon. Very often things get imported that shouldn't get imported, and they get by the people inspecting them. And then you run the risk of your kids getting sick or poor quality. Years ago, we got some loads of tape measures from China that smelled so bad, I had to keep them in my garage to air out for months.
What was the
issue
there?
It was a petroleum smell. And they were curing in my garage instead of, some things need to sit after manufacturing because they just smell bad.
Wow.
And I bought a pair of rubber boots, waders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never been able to wear them because they smell so bad.
I got a laundry hamper on Amazon, which I thought was great, and it looked amazing, and it had all these bells and whistles, and it came in and it smelled so horribly that it had to sit on my balcony for about 3 weeks before I could bring it inside the house.
Exactly.
Now, does that make it unsafe to have it then?
Good now, question.
You know?
Maybe
now you bring it
Steve
in the house.
Steve tested for lead.
You know?
Yeah, but it was just awful. Yeah, you never know. And you do get what you pay for sometimes.
And that's one of the problems of buying online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get to see if there's a smell or if it works or anything else. You just, oh, that looks good, I'll buy that.
You know, some of the more difficult landlord-tenant cases involve, like, smell issues, or a neighbor complains or a neighbor says something that, oh, there's these horrible fumes or they're smoking this or that. But when you get to court, how do you prove that? Right.
Yeah,
for noise, you can say, okay, well, here's a decibel meter. You can record that, or you can do something like that. But 3 weeks later, just saying, well, the smells were awful. I smelt it. You smelt it. We all agree it was awful. Those are very difficult cases.
So getting into the real estate question again, these are the kinds of things that very often you find out when you do your due diligence. When you visit the house a couple of times, you realize that you can hear the throughway. You realize that there is a cemetery in the backyard. You realize that there's power lines going very close to the house. And if you're concerned about EMFs, electromagnetic fields, maybe you don't want that house. Maybe you realize that there's a double yellow line on the street and a lot of traffic. Or you hear someone speeding down the street on a regular basis and gunning their engines. If you don't have the time to do your due diligence, you might not want that house.
Even something as simple as going online and pulling up Google satellite views, right? We had a house that someone was buying near Danbury. And all they needed to do was Google the house and zoom out just a little, and you would have seen that it was in line with a runway. It was near the airport.
Right.
But if you show up at a certain time of day, if you're coming at night and the airport isn't a busy airport at night, right, and that's when you did your viewing of the house, you wouldn't realize that at all other hours of the night you have these planes flying over you to, you know, align themselves with this upcoming runway.
You know, so in two different respects, everybody is excited because Tweed is developing the airport. Tweed is going to be a bigger airport, and they're going to have more commercial planes coming in. But I'll bet you the people that live near Tweed absolutely freaking out because the runway's being extended and there's going to be big planes coming in. And for those that want the convenience of another airport, which is very exciting, there's going to be a downside to this. And people in Greenwich that live in that Fairhaven or whatever there is a development that is right near the airport. You can wave to the pilot as they're coming in. And the houses were insulated a little bit better in the attic to avoid some of the noise and the vibration. But those houses were built after the airport was built. And those people really have no gripe, but I'll bet you a lot of people have bought that and not realized how low those planes are coming. You can see the cockpit from some of these houses.
Well, that was an exact issue that happened in Los Angeles years ago, and when I was living out there, people were complaining because they expanded the airport, all right, LAX. And especially when they were going to have the Olympics in 84, I think it was, they put, you know, a second layer for all the stuff inside. And they were complaining about the noise of the airplanes. And you're saying, but you moved here. You already were living in an area like that. You know there's an airport. You can't miss it.
In Quito, in Ecuador, you used to fly in right into the center of the city, which is where the airport was, and occasionally they would have plane crashes. And so they finally moved the airport away from downtown and out into the suburbs. When you have land, you can do that.
Yeah.
But we've always had problems because LaGuardia has just gone through a big transformation because it was too small for the kind of traffic that it has. Westchester County Airport has grown significantly. Almost every time I go to Westchester County Airport, it looks different because they've added more terminals and added more security and all the rest of it. You know, air travel has become like bus travel.
Yeah.
And so more and more people are going different places, obviously after the pandemic peters out a little bit. But, you know, we rely on air traffic to go so many different places. And, you know, this is all a consideration. But when you're buying a house at the end of the runway, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Big jets make a lot of noise.
Yes, they do.
But little planes make a lot of noise, too. And so when you've got private planes zooming in and out all day long.
But here's the thing. If you don't know the area, and here's the one thing that developers do well. They screen well, right, with landscaping.
Sure.
So you wouldn't know that, you know, 3 football fields away, there's a giant airport. If you're there, so if you go there at night, where it's a smaller airport, they don't have a lot of traffic at night necessarily, you would not know that it's as bad as it is. So look it up. Same thing with apartments. I know it's around the house, but people will buy apartments. They'll go and view them in the middle of the day, right? When kids are in school, there's no one in the building. You don't know how thin those walls are at all. Try to go there at night and see if you can hear what your neighbors are watching. That sort of thing.
Well, we had this conversation several times where I had people buying on the side of Scalzi Park, and their backyard backed on the ball field. And I said to them, you really should come here at night and sit down and see what's going on when there are baseball games going on, because your backyard is not going to afford you any privacy. In fact, you might want to set up a hot dog stand, and you could probably make money doing that, because somebody's going to be shouting, run, 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 or swing batter.
When I was a kid, we lived at 91 Strawberry Hill Avenue. And if you know Stamford at all, there's two buildings. They abut Stamford High School. Immediately behind the buildings is the football field for Stamford High School. And what you don't realize is, yeah, they'll have the football games maybe once or twice a week, but the marching band will practice every day after school. And it's
good
like
point.
They're sitting in your living room. And then for every game, you know every play of every game, because it's mind-numbing noise. You can't, like, there's no way to mute it.
And you get the da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, well, I live near Dolan School and Toquam School. And in the afternoon, around 2 o'clock, you hear bus 153, last call, over and over and over again. And they call each class to go to their buses. And it's over a loudspeaker outside, because they're all gathered outside.
Sure.
And you listen to this over and over and over again. And, you know, people will say to me, we've gotten rid of – Jonathan took the rooster. So the rooster's gone, thank goodness. But people have said to me, oh, we love the sound of the rooster. I can't stand it after a while. The damn rooster doesn't shut up.
Yeah, they don't understand.
I'm happy that the rooster is gone. I don't want any more roosters. But, you know, everything has a potential of noise pollution that you don't realize when you're shopping. And we had people recently that backed on the supermarket.
Great. Yeah.
6 o'clock in the morning, you've got trucks idling that are
unloading
vegetables and food stuffs, and you're listening to a truck idling. It's bad enough on Wednesdays when the garbage truck and the recycling truck are coming in, but you kind of put up with that at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, because you want your garbage to go. But a lot of people would not realize that that's going on until it happens.
Right.
So
you don't think of it.
There's a lot of due diligence you really want to do before you spend millions of dollars on a house, and then you move in and you realize that kids cut through your property to go to school. And I have that going on all the time. And I had vandalism. I had people driving through my yard.
I'm not saying anything, because back, you know, the statute of limitations has expired, but I used to cut across.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. It's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah. I was middle school, high school.
Yeah. This is what goes on. And so I put a gate in so that they could cut through without opening up the electric gates.
Yeah.
Okay. But I could at some point electrify that gate and give them a shocker. Keep out.
That's a good idea.
Nah, I'm not mean like that.
No.
We got neighbors that yell at the kids and curse at them and stuff. I'm not going to do that. And especially if the kids say, can I cut through? I say, of course. You know,
because they're going to do it anyway. So
we need to do a tip of the week, don't we?
We do.
All right. So the tip of the week this week is, don't buy without an attorney. Because an attorney can protect you. An attorney can look at, if you're selling, can look at your sales offers and make some suggestions and help you deal with existing permits and liens and stuff like that. And if you're buying, you really want to look at contracts before you sign them with an attorney, because you may be signing away your rights and the ability to do anything if you're upset about anything. And so any paperwork that you're signing should be reviewed by a real estate attorney who knows what they're doing.
Even little things like setting realistic expectations. Very often, as you're going through the process, your mortgage broker is going to tell you how great everything is and how quickly they can get it done. And your realtor is going to tell you, oh, you want to close as quickly as you can. Don't worry. And so you'll lock your rate and your lease will be expiring. And the attorney could have warned you that some of those dates were not plausible and you could save some money even just from having a realistic outlook on how this process is going to move.
Because you might actually have to spend money mm-hmm. while you're delaying.
Right.
And you might actually have to put yourself into a rental situation while you're being delayed. And you may not get your kids into school on time. And you may have transportation issues or something needs to get fixed that require. As an example, we find very often that there's a buried oil tank or little evidence of a buried oil tank, even though there might be one. So maybe you need to call somebody and have a magnetic imager come in and take a look and search for that. But if they do find the tank, it might take a couple of weeks to get that tank out.
Under normal yeah. circumstances. Under right normal. Now, when everyone else is doing the same thing,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
difficult. Surveys are an issue right now. Inspections, trying to get an inspector out there. If the realtor gives you a very, very short time frame to do it, you're relying on them to tell you what's reasonable in the area because you have no idea.
I can't tell you how many people say, can you do an inspection this week? And I can't.
Right.
I, you know, we only have so many guys and so many slots to put
right.
it in, and
yeah.
I'm trying to help people, but I don't want to work at 5 o'clock at night. I don't want to look at a house in the dark. And so people don't understand. If we're going to do a really good job, we need the time to do it. And if they don't show up, they don't learn about their house. So we get people who call up and say, I'm in Sacramento, California. I can't be there for the inspection. My attorney's, my realtor is going to go with you. Not the smartest thing.
And you know what the worst part about it is? A lot of people now, especially younger people, like under 40, they tend to do a lot of things online. So the way that they'll find the properties that they're going to bid on very often
on
is they'll do it on their phone, realtor.com, online, whatever it is. And then they'll reach out to the realtor to schedule the showing. And then they're going to sign an agreement with the realtor because the realtor is going to tell them, oh, I can't show it to you until you sign this agreement saying I'm also going to represent you, dual rep agreement. So now the realtor is representing both sides. Ironically, the higher the final purchase price, the higher the commission. So I'm sure they're going to be very objective with you and help you negotiate, but just keep in mind that, you know, the higher the price, the higher the commission. And sometimes they'll say, well, I shouldn't do it. It's a conflict of interest. I'm going to have Maggie from my office represent you. Well, it's the same office, same commission, same concept. And then they'll send that realtor to the inspection because they can't show up. Well, is the realtor going to tell you that, oh, well, there's all of these issues? Or is the realtor going to say, well, there was a couple of major things. Most of the rest of it is fine.
Well,
and I don't want to say that, you know, disparage realtors, but there is an inherent conflict where the higher your purchase price, the higher the commission.
Yeah. And the other problem is that the realtors have you signing all kinds of disclaimers mm-hmm. saying that they're not responsible for things. We have people signing contracts that explains the limitation of the home inspection. You can't find everything, especially when there's floor coverings and wall coverings and furniture in the house. And people hide things. People bury things behind boxes. So it's hard enough doing an inspection when everybody is on the same page. But when people are not on the same page and they're hurrying you and they're not willing to clean the house or get rid of the clutter and stuff like that, I'm at a disadvantage. And so I have to be very careful what I say to people and how we do the inspection. And they have to sign paperwork that I would love for that to be reviewed by an attorney as well so that they understand. We're sending it out to their homes now so that they have an opportunity to read it because I don't want them just feeling that they're under duress and have to sign mm-hmm. things on site. So it's very tricky. We have to take another break. You're listening to Around the House. We'll be right back. David Baker, Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, providing all types of flooring solutions from initial design through expert installation, located in Fairfield and New Haven counties. His success is being able to connect with his customers. He makes buying floors easy, safe, and effortless. striving to provide a different experience from anything else that people have ever experienced before. He's part of Floor Coverings International, an organization with over 115 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada, offering a wide selection of flooring products in several price ranges, including carpet, hardwood, natural stone, ceramic tile, laminate flooring, vinyl, specialty materials, and eco-friendly selections, including renewable, sustainable hardwood products, natural linoleum, cork, and bamboo. What makes them different is they bring the store to you. So you call and make an appointment at 203-386-1776, and he brings the mobile display room to your door. And he'll bring in the samples, show you what you need to know, and you pick it, he measures it, and they'll come and install it. He brings the store to your door and inspiration to your feet. That's Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, 203-386-1776. If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today.
Here's Steve Glasso around the house.
Thank you. So it's really interesting. We are multimedia here. So my phone keeps going off with people calling in and saying the development of the flight path of Westchester County Airport is called Belfair.
That's the one.
So I was close, yeah. And that's in Rybrook, New York. And I've done inspections in there. And the planes come in very, very low because they're right in the flight path. And, you know, I've been on planes coming into Westchester Airport, and they do a big sweep around Stamford, around the land. You can see the Landmark Tower, and then it comes in and flies in over Westchester. And I love that airport. I really do. I love that airport. And it's so convenient. It's 22 minutes from my house, and it avoids that whole pain of driving to LaGuardia or to Kennedy, we do more than I ever dreamed that we would do. But the bottom line is it's a very convenient airport. And with JetBlue there and some of the other carriers, that's really a good thing.
I wish they would go
From here. We all wish that they would go more places. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. That's why it's really exciting that maybe driving to New Haven to Tweed is going to make a big difference as well. I used to get a little upset that Bridgeport Sikorsky Airport has really become a dud as far as commercial airlines going out of there, and it's unfortunate when an airport can't safely fly these bigger planes. Because we like to go different places.
We need them.
And direct flights to California and direct flights to Florida make a big difference in quality of life things. But people don't like having airports in their backyard.
Gripe with Westchester is probably related to that, which is there's not a lot of – it's a small terminal. You can't – like you get there early because you have to wait for your flight. You figure security, everything else. And there's not even like a place to sit down and eat. There's just a little shop on the side that sells some stuff. I wish it was a little bit bigger, but for that reason it won't be because people don't want it.
Well, it's
– If I was living there, I probably wouldn't.
It's this not in my backyard mentality.
Yep.
But you would – you know, one of the things that we experienced years ago was Robert Moses planning things that had long-term implications, you know. And when they were planning the World's Fair, That was pretty exciting stuff.
That was cool.
Robert Moses State Park, and if they had ever built that bridge across Long Island Sound, do you realize how that would have changed Connecticut and Long Island?
Yeah,
the end of
absolutely.
Long Island. People have to go into Manhattan in order to go out to the end of the island.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And the amount of commerce that would have taken place going across that bridge would have been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Instead of taking a ferry that requires just as much time as going into the city, and it's expensive. And they've always talked about, oh, maybe the ferry would stop working, you know.
Yeah.
It's a big adventure, and you're trying to please a lot of people, at the same time not displease a lot of people. Because it goes to the North Shore, that bridge, a lot of people didn't want that bridge to be there, just like a lot of people fought the rebuilding of the Mario Cuomo Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And what a bridge that is now.
Which one is that?
The Tappan Zee.
Oh, the Tappan Zee. Oh, that's a gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
But people were fighting the ramps because they didn't want to move the bridge from the original location.
That's a work of art.
I think it's a nice bridge, but I will say it's not as interesting in terms of it's a better bridge.
Yeah.
So it does a much better job of getting people from one side to another. But the Tappan Zee had a very unique sort of architectural thing where it was up and down and long.
Right.
It had a little bit of a
that.
Key West aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is an amazing bridge.
There's a lot to be said about old bridges.
I mean,
when you look at the Brooklyn Bridge or you look at any of the bridges in Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
They were designed. They not only had a purpose, but they were architectural as well.
Saw a documentary on the GW, and it was just not finished. So the most unique thing about the GW, like the way that it has that exposed steel, that wasn't intended.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Really?
Yeah. That was not meant to be that way. It was supposed to be covered.
The whole thing's supposed to be covered?
Right.
Oh, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are a lot of things that change both because of budget and time. They needed to get that bridge open.
Yeah, so they did it with one deck, and they left it exposed, and it's become like the most iconic thing about the GW, just the way that it looks.
Right, by accident almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Did they ever show you a picture of what it's supposed to look like?
I don't remember in the documentary.
Oh, there must be plans.
Yeah.
There must
be
something that showed it.
Well, Beau Bridges is another one who I think is...
Beau Bridges
is
well-designed.
Well-designed, still around.
Not as good as Lloyd.
I had to say that. I'm sorry.
Not as good as Lloyd.
All right. There's a new proposal for a railroad tunnel under the Sound from Long Island to Stratford.
Interesting.
With some of these infrastructure plans, maybe we'll see some exciting stuff going on. Tunnels are a little less of an impact than bridges are, but...
They always kind of freak me out
a little bit,
tunnels, I think. You know, you get stuck and...
Because you watch that Stallone movie, what was it, Daylight? Or whatever that was?
No, but if that would happen...
Tunnel.
Yeah, you get there, you know, you can't call, you know, AAA, sorry.
Water starts dripping on the windshield.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, you know,
that's a bad thing. It's definitely a bad thing.
Not for me.
I don't want to see that movie. It's I was in California when the Northridge quake took place.
Yeah,
and me too. For those freeways to collapse on top of cars and squish them like they were nothing, that was a very, very scary day for a lot of people.
It was.
And we did quake inspections in a couple of towns, and I was in San Diego when it happened, and miles and miles away from the epicenter, and my bed was just vibrating back and forth, and it was a scary time.
Yeah, I was like 10 miles from the epicenter, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
I'm always fascinated how you Californians just kind of treat earthquakes like, oh, that was just a 5. I didn't even wake up.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, oh earthquake.
What else are they going to do?
I know.
What else are they going to do? Yeah. Oh, mudslides, wildfires.
Yeah. No matter where you go, we have
good weather.
Yeah, no matter where you go, there's some natural disaster waiting to happen for something, whether it's snow.
We went for a walk and we ended up in the tar pits.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. My son loves it. My daughter loved it there. She already misses it. But I like having seasons, and I like things to stand still.
Yep.
I don't, every once in a while, Connecticut has a little tremor. and, mm-hmm. And things barely move.
Yeah. You know, it's great. During that earthquake, I was married at the time. We had a pool in the back, and you're just holding on, and you see the water sloshing back and forth, but you're not moving. I mean, you're moving, but everything is moving.
Right.
And so it's like coming out of the, going over the edge of the pool.
Does it crack the foundation of the pool?
Didn't do ours, luckily.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing we really lost was...
It depends on what's anchored.
Yeah, and ours was luckily anchored. I don't know how you build a house and not anchor it to something, which is crazy to me.
Well, what we found is that usually when you're converting from your footings to the wood, you have J-bolts that go through, and if there's a washer and a nut on those J-bolts, if the house is bouncing, it'll usually stay where it is.
Right.
You may have some damage. But what we found in some of the areas that I was doing inspections is the house actually bounced right off the foundation. Because instead of that being a shaking quake, it was a bouncing quake.
Right.
And we saw so many chimneys fell
That's
over.
Right.
Anything that was masonry pretty much collapsed.
Yeah, we had our backyard was like, kind of, it was all covered, not covered, you know, all the way to the sky, obviously. But, you know, we had a cement fence or whatever you call those things. And it shifted a little bit. Yeah. We lost that and a bottle of ketchup. That was all we lost, luckily. Seriously, that was all. Cause everything
looked much worse.
There were a lot of the ketchup.
That's right. Gene had ketchup on him. Oh my God!
Yeah,
the humanity.
Well, you know, what was interesting though was my wife and I had the car parked in the garage, and this thing started shaking. First thing I did was I had a Porsche back then. You know, I said I got to get my car out.
You didn't take the wife out.
No. I had to get the car out first. You know, there are priorities.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course, of course. That's why she's no longer with you.
That's part of
but
it.
But the car is
the
still
car,
in the garage.
Yeah.
The car
it's
has,
okay.
He has
car
fond
is okay.
memories of the car.
We don't ever know what ever happened to her car, but my car was okay.
And that's Kendall's mother?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. My daughter. Yes, indeed.
Oh, well. All right, we have about 3 minutes left, and I want to thank the people that have been on Facebook that have been communicating with you. Hi, Nancy. I hope you're feeling better. Nancy had an operation, a successful operation. So
good.
That's good. They removed the tumor, and I hope she's feeling a lot better. And happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Yes, indeed.
I hope if you are a mommy, I hope that you get some nice gifts from your kiddies or some cards or well wishes. And my mommy is planning on coming out to Connecticut soon.
Oh, good.
So they're going to get in the car and drive. 93 years old. They're driving up. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. And go to the plant sale at the Civic Center. And spend some money.
And what's your number for your company?
Oh, yeah. Alex, give your
203-425-8500. So if anyone has any real estate-related questions, that's the number, 203-425-8500 or bgtlawfirm.com.
Which stands for?
Benjamin Gold and Troy. BGT Law Firm.
Benjamin Gold and Troy. And I want to thank you for coming in, even though we had a little
snafu
as far as timing. It's always good to have you here because you explain a lot of things that people really need to hear, and that's very helpful.
I always like the stories you have. It's always things you never think of a lot, you know, and it's just
war stories.
Yeah, you know.
Thanks for the
thanks for the coffee and donuts.
Donuts.
And if Dunkin' Donuts wants to advertise, we're here.
We are, 203.
Or Donut Delight or something. All right, everybody have a wonderful week. Stay out of the rain the next 3 days. And stay healthy. And if you haven't had your shots there, stop dragging your feet. Go get those shots.